You guys know the movie Groundhog's Day, right? Where it feels like the same day over and over and over again. Well, that's probably what it feels like when you're flipping through profiles when you're online dating, right? Like you've seen the same profile again and again and again and again. She's not just one of those profiles. You're also probably one of those profiles. And no one loves to live the same day over again because it's boring. So make your profile interesting, enticing, alluring, clever, something that she's never seen before. And I promise you, the amount of times you get swiped on left will go down drastically. So if you want more matches, stop wasting time, stop living in Groundhog's Day, and having the same experience on a dating app day in and day out. So go to kristenandchill.com. If you want help with your banter, of course, I'm there for that. But I'm also here to make you look your best, sound your best, and appear your best. So you can start getting those matches and getting on to dates.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast where you get real advice straight from the source. I'm Kristen Carney, comedian, host, etc. Here, of course, with bestselling author Marnie Kinross. Read her book, Get Inside Her, and our voice of man today is Jonathan Aslay. He's a dating coach for women. However, he's got amazing things to say that we can apply to men. Then later in the show, we have a Playboy bunny coming on. Her name is Maya Jordan, and she's got a game on the Playboy radio network called Head Games.
No, it's a podcast.
Oh, what'd I say?
A game.
Oh, she's got a game.
She's got a game.
She's a game host.
That's for sure.
Yeah, no. She's got a podcast, but
she's fantastic and she has a degree.
She's sexy. She's smart.
She is sexy and smart. She's actually very, very cute. She's blonde. She's adorable. I did her show a couple of weeks ago for the Playboy Network, which, by the way, we are now a part of, which is actually a very big deal for us.
Yeah.
Because we are whores and we are ready to be on Playboy.
Yep. We're spread.
We're spread
open.
Eagle.
Ready to go.
Yes.
Our podcast actually airs out of our vaginas.
It does. Every Thursday. So make sure to add it to your funnel. But no, that's a big announcement for us. We teamed up with Playboy, and they are going to host our podcast on their site, which will hopefully expose us to a whole bunch of pervs.
Yeah.
That's
it up, sisters.
Fingers crossed. That's what's going to happen. I'm just joking. But Playboy actually is a very good place. Like, they have great shows. You've been on a couple as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny Bunny, which I was on too. They have like really great educational shows. So even though I make jokes, it's not dirty at all. It's actually a fantastic place.
Yeah, but I had fun.
Very happy to be a part of their team. And Maya Jordan is also a part of their team and she hosts the show Head Games and we're going to have her on the second half of the show, which is really, really exciting. But yeah, today on the show, I'm exhausted today, just to let you know. So I might like slur my words a little bit, but hopefully
You're actually drunk.
Yeah, I wish I was drunk. I should be drunk right now. I'm having like a salad and water. I really should be having tequila and a burger because that would make me feel so much better right now. But John, before we started this show, you were talking about your specialty with the women that you coach. And I've been doing a lot of interviews recently for my female program that I've created called That's Not How Men Work. And I've been interviewing a lot of men. And I'm finding it fascinating. Like, I thought that I knew a lot about men before because I've worked with them for so long. I'm married to a man. I'm quite the inquisitive person. So I typically ask a lot of questions. But I'm learning a hell of a lot more about men right now. And one thing that I learned yesterday in an interview that I did with Jordan Harbinger, who's on our show all the time, he was talking about why men cheat, and he was saying that one of the reasons that men cheat is because they become afraid of intimacy. And because of this, they start to pull back, and they actually will go and cheat. That was like one of the reasons. There's multiple other reasons, and there's like a lot of other things going on there, but that was one reason. And you were saying before the show started that you talk to women about men who are afraid to commit and who are afraid of intimacy. And I wanted to talk to our audience because some people may not know that they have that fear of being vulnerable and of becoming intimate with somebody and getting close. But I would love to hear how potentially you could guide men if they are experiencing that or not aware that they're experiencing it. just helping.
Well, you know, my demographics is for those who are in the 40s to say 65. So, because what happens with men when they hit that age, we call it midlife crisis, if you will. I call it where their blueprint collides with their reality. And what I mean to say
their blue balls can no longer get blue.
But when you think about it, when someone's in their 20s, they think they can conquer the world, right? They think they're going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, Bill Gates or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, as their life progresses, they realize, bam, what they thought their life was going to be like hits their reality.
I'm experiencing that about 31 right now.
Me too.
Yeah. Also, well, they're like, also, wow, this is not this what is I imagined.
Yeah. Well, also, what's also happening inside of us is there's a shift in chemicals.
Yeah.
Testosterone starts to drop within men. Actually, estrogen increases. So they start experiencing their feelings, their emotions in a way they weren't used to. So that's also another dynamic that's going on right around 35, 40 years old. And guys are lost. Yeah. I mean, they're truly confused. And then what hits them is if they ask themselves this question, why am I here? Because that's when it really starts, the shit hits the fan, if you will.
Right.
And for many men, they start, you know, going down a negative path. They might start drinking. They might start doing drugs, whatever, to cope with what's going on because they're not used to
buying really cheesy cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm in a convertible. I meant. But so that's what's oftentimes going on inside a guy's head.
Yeah.
And it's confusing to women. So all the clients that come to me, why is this guy emotionally unavailable? Why is he a commitment phobe? Because he doesn't even know what's going on inside of him. And usually it takes a traumatic event for that, for something to shift inside of a guy.
Okay. Well, can you tell me more about this? Like, speaking to our audience, people who listen to the show are, you know, all over the map. There are guys who are 18, there are guys who are 45, guys who are 65. What can you tell to the younger man? I know you've said that this does happen, you know, in their 40s when the chemicals start to shift, but how can younger guys be prepared for this shift? And how can they learn how to be more vulnerable so that these emotions don't get so overwhelming for them?
Oh, I love this question because I have an 18-year-old son.
So
I talked to him about this stuff. And what I encourage him is to start doing personal growth. You know, start reading books that really help you learn what's going on the inside. I mean, first for me was Tony Robbins. You know, that was the big guy out there 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. And that's who I started to follow. And it started to sink in that we actually are in control of, well, to a certain degree, of our emotions. And what I mean to say is we're in control of our choices. And so we don't have to go down a path of, you know, the negative train if we start training ourselves to become more positive within. And you'll start gaining more confidence within. Because oftentimes they go down the negative path on an emotional level, if you will.
Okay, so what I call it is like a man or, you know, a woman allowing her negative emotions to drill her into a negative circle.
We'll call it limiting beliefs, if you will, because the more you start believing the negative or the limiting beliefs, the more that will become your reality.
Okay. So how do you shift that? How do you teach people how to shift that? I know that you make women aware that men are experiencing this, but how have you learned to shift it?
Perfect example. So women come to me, there's no quality men out there. Okay. So if that's the program playing, that's the software playing in their head, well, that's all they will see is there's no quality men.
Even wonderful men will seem like local.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So start changing the voice inside your head. There's an abundance of amazing men who are suitable for me. Just that one shift in your language will start all of a sudden opening your eyes up to seeing the possibility of what's out there.
How do you shift that language? Because I want like specifics, because there's a lot of people who are like, okay, how do you suddenly start thinking differently in that direction? Like, let's speak to men and like, let's tell them exactly how to do it.
Okay. So one of my favorite movies is Groundhog Day. Okay, you've seen Groundhog Day,
where
he basically relives it over and over again. Well, that's the same thing. Practice makes perfect. So if you have a limiting belief, shift that belief by finding the shift to it, the opposite, flip what that is, and just start repeating it over and over again in your head, because it'll start to sink in. It, like anything, it takes time.
Yeah. You know? I think I've told this story before about like not putting my keys in the right place. Have I told this story before? Yeah. And it people don't believe that you can program your brain and that we're like,
tell us though, because I kind of forget, but I remember you talking about it.
Yeah. You were programmed to remember this story.
No,
basically, I was horrible with my keys. Like, I swear one time they ended up in the laundry machine. Like, they're just all over the place. And my husband would get so frustrated with me because every day I would say, where are my keys? And he'd be like, why don't you do what I do? I put my keys in the same damn place every single day so that you can't lose your keys. I cannot stand hearing that statement out of your mouth. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to train myself to know where my keys are. I even like bought myself like a little dish to put them on. Anyway, I forget where I ended up putting them. Like, if there was like a little,
not surprising.
Right. Yeah. Where are they now? How did I even get here? But what I ended up doing was every single day, like I had post-its everywhere to remind myself to put the keys in the same damn place every single day. And for the first few days, like I would fuck up. Like I wouldn't put the keys in the right place. But because I was aware that I was trying to do this and I had post-it notes everywhere to remind me to do this, I would eventually put that key, the keys in the right place, in the same place every single day. And after like, I think the fourth or fifth day, something in me would twinge if the keys weren't put into the right place. So that I literally reprogrammed my brain to put the keys in the same place. Now I'm back to how I was before and the keys are all over the place. But, well, you know, but basically I still kind of have my routine, but I was able to reprogram the way that I thought about something.
They say it takes about 28 days to change a habit, right? So if you do something over and over again for 28 days, you're more likely to have a brand new habit forming right there.
Right.
So if we know that's kind of what the, you know, the benchmark is, then just do it for 28 days and you'll find that you'll put it in that same place.
Yeah, and you can use as many helpful cues as possible. You're not like by yourself doing this. You can say to your significant other, can you remind me to put, even if they don't do it, but whatever, to put these keys in the same spot every day. You can put up post-its. You can put a post-it on the door of your house so that you remember when you're walking in. There's lots of things that can help you do this. You don't have to do it on your own.
Well, you know, I use my computer. I get an email every morning with 7 or 8 different affirmations. Now, I know for some people that might think, oh my God, affirmations.
Real life Stuart Smalley in the studio.
Exactly. But you know what? Every day I have the same thing, you know, and they could be statements
but
like, I accept
someone
myself.
Someone like me, I'd get the daily email and I just wouldn't open it.
You have to make it a practice.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know,
like,
but you know what? Your subconscious, but your subconscious is getting it in anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so long as you just keep that going, you're going to be more apt to have success than if you did nothing.
Right.
Because you can go down the path of limiting beliefs and have a mediocre life, or you can have an extraordinary life by shifting your patterns.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love where this conversation has gone to. So how does...
And by the way, this works in your business too, because you're teaching men confidence and just doing something over and over and over before, and then it becomes second nature. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely, for sure. So everything we're talking about right now totally applies to all the guys that are listening, but I want us to get back to the emotional thing. So men being overwhelmed by their emotions, because I do find that a lot of the guys that write into me for my email coaching program who are in relationships or who just ended a relationship, most of the relationships have ended because of them lacking the ability to express their emotions more, to share, to open up. And I know in my own relationship, that had been a sticking point as well. My husband is more inclined to not share as much, but now that he's been with me, he has no choice but to share and to open up a lot more. But for most relationships as well, I think that that's where a lot of the tension stems from. During these interviews that I did with men, sorry to interrupt you, but these men as well, I interviewed Michael Fiore, and he talked about a recent survey that he had done where he interviewed men and women asking them, like, the key thing that frustrates them the most or that they're the most confused about, men and women. And the women said, like, the number one question that they have for men is, why doesn't he love me? And for the men, the number one question, and it came in all different forms, but at the core of it was, how come she doesn't know I love her? And this difference between men and women is where I think the base of all confusion and frustration stems from. But for the guys who are listening, these women question whether or not you love them because it's not being expressed to them in a way that they understand. So if you can, on a daily basis, like what you were talking about before with a daily practice, learn to express a little bit and share a little bit with the woman in your life or the women in your life, it can potentially create a more successful relationship for you.
You know, this is such a great question because there's a, what usually happens is we don't know how to express love in the language that's heard.
Right.
So there's a fantastic book by Gary Chapman called The 5 Love Languages. And when you understand your partner's love language, you're more.
One of them is farting.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Is that an act of service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you really.
Or is that a gift?
It's just like taking down the walls.
It depends who's doing it, but it could be a gift.
No, but once you learn your partner's love language, it's going to land. land on them that you actually do care about them. And men tend to be more acts of service, and women tend to be more words of affirmation. Now, those are the kind of the two top ones for both men and women. And what's happening is your guy is showing you love by making sure that there's oil in your, you know, your car, right, or the tires are rotated and that sort of thing. And you're waiting for, why aren't I getting the words?
Right, exactly.
You know? And he doesn't feel loved by you because you're, you know, it's
not appreciating the gas in the tank.
Exactly.
Like, well, it's only half full, last
half empty.
Yeah, exactly. Half empty. Exactly. That's the proper way to think about it. But let's tap more into this emotional side. So for guys who are in their 40s, or even for guys who are in their 20s, who aren't sure what to do with all of these emotions that they're feeling, because guys who are 18 are still feeling emotions, the advice of get into self-help is great. But what's like the first baby step that they could do on their own right now to help them deal with these emotions so that they are not afraid or commitment phobes, or they don't screw up in relationships? Is there actually, you know, here's a better question. Yeah. Is there a way to teach men how they can be vulnerable but still feel comfortable with it?
Oh, wow. Great question. Well, first off, I think awareness is a key, you know, being aware of what's going on inside of you. And oftentimes, if you're not even clear on what's going on and you're not able to express it, it's going to be a challenge. But first, start off by expressing your feelings. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to your guy friends, start with female friends. You know, if you think about it, you know, most guys have no problem opening up to another woman, you know, when they feel comfortable and they feel safe. That's usually the key point for a man. Does he feel safe to share his emotions? And most men don't feel safe with their guy friends because they're going to use it against them, or they're going to ridicule mm-hmm. them and that sort of thing. So it
well,
starts off by being
safe. Well, I think those guys would also be fearful of being as open with a girl that they're seeing, because I think that a lot of guys,
no,
they're afraid that being vulnerable could potentially make them lose that girl.
Yeah, because it shows a level of weakness. So, no, I'm talking about a friend,
right,
you know, and not necessarily a partner or a lover.
So how do you be vulnerable within a relationship? How do you be vulnerable with women who you still want them to be attracted to you?
You know what? I mean, first off, I don't suggest vomiting all your feelings all at once, you know, but certainly sharing what's going on.
Vomit is more attractive.
Yeah. But to go along with the farting, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Such an act of service. No, but you start with baby steps, like what you said earlier. You start by sharing a little bit what's going on. You know, oftentimes it's usually a reflection of our childhood. If we can go back in time to see what happened in our childhood and start sharing the feelings that you had as a child, you're going to build trust with your partner as you move along, you know, up the continuum of the dating and the relationship.
Yeah, I think just sharing stories of your childhood or sharing memories, things like that they're not necessarily always sad. You know, like my boyfriend and I really connected at first over just sharing stories of we grew up in a similar area. So be like, oh yeah, when this person did that, I was, you know, it was just a connection on our history, but it was also showing some vulnerability just because we show what was special to us or what memories were happiest. It didn't always have to be sad to be vulnerable.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I think that's a confusion for
a
lot of guys.
Yeah.
That, vulnerability doesn't have to do with being sad or mopey and like exposing that side of yourself. That can slowly be earned between two people.
Right.
But being vulnerable is really just opening up and sharing. So let me ask you, Kristen, what is oversharing? So if you were on a fourth date with a guy, what would be considered oversharing and a huge turnoff?
It's kind of hard for me to answer because I actually don't mind oversharing. And I was going to actually make this point is that I have difficulty making friends. And it's not because I choose that. I kind of close myself off. But basically, I think sometimes with people, I share too much. And then I turn them off from wanting to be my friend. I really think that because I'll see people's this is very pertains to like younger generation, but like I'll see people's Instagrams and they're like always with their friends and posting pictures. And it's like, ooh, look at me and us together bonding. And even with my closest friends, they don't post pictures of us on Instagram. And so I feel like—
Because they're ashamed of your friendship.
Well, it's weird to me. I don't know if because I'm likable and I'm fun to be around to an extent. But
I like you.
But people always say
for
to me,
2 hours a week.
I'm really good with one-on-one. And people have said to me, I'm not in their circle of friends, but I'm their friend. And they really like talking to me. And they'll say, I can really open up to you. But then they don't really want me in their fun friend world. So I don't know if I share too much. So it is hard for me to really kind of gauge that. If a guy, of course, was like, I'm going to kill myself, and I've always wanted to kill myself, I'd be like, well, maybe we'll save that for the sixth date.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can get
it's
on
a
board.
A little too early, buddy.
I can kill you for you.
Right.
But
For me, that is hard to answer because I don't mind oversharing. I like getting really kind of nitty gritty with people's emotions and feeling different feelings and sad. And
well, the
like
benefit
that.
Of that is you also recognize who accepts you for who you are.
Right.
You know, in a way, I look at it as a test, you know, to see if I, you know, if we're compatible.
Yeah, it's a good test.
Because, you know, if you're not, hey, you know what? Time to end it now before you go any deeper.
Yeah. Well, to speak on Kristen's point, because this may be something that people are concerned about as well, because I would say I have a very similar character to Kristen, or at least, you know, I have in my past. And I've learned more now about like having different types of friendships with people, whereas before I would have a hard time if I was hanging out with people who weren't able to go deep or open up and not really expose themselves in deep.
Yeah, I'm not good with surface friends.
Yeah, and I was never okay with it. I'm fine with it now. There's some people who just bring out a really fun side in me. And sometimes I don't have to be talking about serious things or helping them with their relationship issues or, you know, contemplating like my mission in life. I have those friends and I can and definitely am that person for a lot of people. But I realized how to tap into kind of my surface level side and the fun side. I used to get very down on myself for that as well. I'm like, I'm not into that whole female sorority thing, but I'm getting more into that world and I kind of like it. Like sometimes it's nice to not,
it's easy.
Yeah. Not go to that level. I still enjoy having like people come over to my house and having a glass of wine way better now also because I'm exhausted. But other than that, like anyway, we're going on a totally different tangent, but I think this is a really good conversation because we are talking about being vulnerable and really identifying with who you are as a person and the things that you like.
If it's important to you to always, my cousin, he is the most introspective, intelligent, you know, it's hard to just kind of have a chit-chat conversation with him. And so if obviously we're cousins, we would never date, but if it came to that, I'd be like, yeah, he's a little intense. So maybe that's where I could say I would draw the line. I'm not always looking for the deeper meaning in life, but I like sharing just feelings in general, but not,
well, actually,
I'm not trying to find why, you know,
who are we?
Right. I'm not trying to go that deep.
Right.
Well, I think women appreciate men who share their emotions, who share their feelings, but men also have to be careful in the sense that if you trigger areas of weakness in places where women want security, okay?
Yeah.
Usually, usually where
that's
a man might lose his, say, his edge or his credibility, not credibility, but, you know, that protectiveness, if it's a space of where it reflects in her sense of security.
Absolutely.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know what I talk about?
So don't weep about having nothing in your bank account.
Okay. But women love men who are emotional, right? And they communicate their feelings, if you will. But you have to differentiate between men who share their problems versus their fears.
That's a good point.
Okay. Because oftentimes guys vomit all their problems and women go, oh my God, he's speaking my language. You know, he's sharing his feelings with me. All he's doing is sharing his problems. When a man shares his fears, that's when he's vulnerable.
Right, okay.
Can you give an example of like how
a difference between a problem and a fear?
Okay, a problem is, oh my God, my ex-wife is, you know, bugging me for child support, blah, 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 blah. He's, you know, saying his problems versus, hey, I'm worried I might lose my job.
I'm worried I might kill the bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's
well, that's not a fear. That's
for her, it is.
that's
a goal. No, that's more than a goal.
I was going to say it's a goal. No, but he's like maybe concerned something's happening at work. Boom, he shares that feeling and it's a fear, right? Well, that might trigger her sense of security. Oh, he can't take care of me, you know? And that's where it gets kind of tricky because this is where men, one of the reasons why we hold our emotions in because we don't want to trigger that fear of security.
So what's the better way for a man to phrase that then?
Well,
so that it won't.
You have to be able to come back with the positive. Okay.
I might lose my job,
but this is a great opportunity.
I'm really good at bank robbing.
Exactly. And I can make a lot of money doing that, not get caught, you know? So, all right. So now
you have a solution. Therefore, you are of higher value.
Yeah, actually showing a solution isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
So what is the better way?
No, just like what we just said. If you're going to share a fear that's, you know, stems in the area of insecurity within a woman, it might be to show the solution as well. It's not just sharing the fear, but also how are you going to come up with the next game plan?
Yeah. Or even the desire to come up with the next game plan. Because the thing is that I don't want to put too many unrealistic pressures on men and women as well. Like even throughout my interviews with all of the men that I was interviewing, like all of these unrealistic pieces of advice for women were being thrown out. And I was just like, how can you put that on It's just too much. And I realize that sometimes on our show, I think we try to be as realistic as possible and understand that the people listening and ourselves, we're human beings. So I think for men, if they are going to express a potential fear to a woman, it's best not to be emotional about it. So I always say, tell women what you think rather than what you feel, exactly. To be honest, so that you have, you know, it's much more calm and it's not emotionally charged. But sometimes it's going to happen if you're in a relationship and there are going to be emotions charging at you and charging at her. But if you can come back to it after and talk about it and express what you think about that fear and then express that you are looking for a solution and that is what you would like to find. You don't necessarily have to have a solution in that moment. Because again, that's sort of teaching men, you can't be vulnerable ever. You have to deal with all this shit on your own first and then come and express it to us. I think women are caregivers, and I know we are, and we also want to help provide a solution for anything that is bogging down our partners. But if it's said frantically to us, all we're going to feel as well is being frantic and uncomfortable and scared. But when it is said with a potential solution, not a solution that is set in stone, but an idea that a solution is available, that will make us feel more secure. Absolutely.
You know, my 80-year-old mother, who's been married 63 years now, wow, looks at what I do and all the advice that's given out there. She's like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. You know, mm-hmm. We made it simple. We married our best friend,
right,
and we make sure to go to bed with that, you know, resolving our problems, you know?
with other people. That's how it worked for us.
It did work that. But you resolve your problems before you go to bed. And it was like, that's her advice.
Yeah. But is that true?
I think there's a benefit of conflict resolution is one of the keys to any longstanding relationship.
No, that she did that.
That's what she claims.
Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, can I say this though? I went to visit my folks the other day and I went in the house and I couldn't find them in any room. And I opened the bedroom. There they are at 2 a.m. spooning each other.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Taking a nap. So yes, wow, it is true for my folks.
Wow.
Because they're
nice
best,
life. 2 a.m. taking a nap.
By the way, they take 7 naps a day.
That's amazing. They're just holding on to they don't fall off the bed.
Exactly.
Now I know I have something to look forward to.
But they're awesome. Best friends. You know, they that's married, so you know, that's what they say the key is. Yeah. You know, marry your best friend.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I love much that advice. It is.
It's funny because my grandmother, she was so in love with my grandfather, but she would say, I married for love, but you can totally marry for money. I lived it. It was fine, but money's not
that
bad.
It could be better.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Thank you so much, Dawn. You're gonna stay around for the second half of the show because we have Maya Jordan on, who is the Playboy Playmate. But now, psychologist, I have to look this up so I get it right. It's horrible that I'm not saying it
correctly. The whole point of having a Playboy Playmate on the show is to, like, see her rockin' body, and she's going to be on Skype. So it's like,
right,
we kind of lost out in the battle here.
I don't know if she's single, actually. We should ask her that question. I know we lost out. I apologize. But now that we are a part of the Playboy Network, which everybody should know, even though you should still download from iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, we will have people from their network on our show. And just to give you a little background about Maya, Maya was a stripper. And
not surprised.
But the interesting thing was that we were talking about it. All of these guys would go to the strip club and start telling them about her problems. She's like, oh, I should be a therapist.
Right.
Like, it's smart. She was basically being a therapist and now,
sexy therapist.
Yeah. And now she's making less money doing it. But she is a
psychotherapist.
Even better.
Thank you.
So like a crazy therapist. What is a psychotherapist, actually? What is that? What is the difference?
A therapist for psychos?
I don't know. You're holding up the paper, but you have no idea.
I don't know the difference between
the smart one
and
a psychotherapist.
They're psychology.
Well, we will look it up, and then we'll be back after this with Maya Jordan.
If you've been in a relationship, you know that relationship requires compromise. But that's a relationship with a significant other, not with a doctor. We shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to our health. ZocDoc is the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, prioritize your health, and even make you feel special. Yeah, special. You can find that relationship with a doctor. It doesn't have to be this sterilized type of relationship. Even though you want everything in the doctor's office to be sterilized, you don't want your relationship to be sterilized. ZocDoc gives you so many options when it comes to choosing your doctor, so you do not have to compromise. Save the compromising for the marriage and what color suit you want to wear down the aisle. And if you do plan on getting married and walking down that aisle, you want to be in good health so you can filter specifically for doctors who take your insurance so you're not lagging behind on any appointments you may need. If I needed this product, this is what I would use. So go to ZocDoc.com/AskWomen and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/AskWomen. ZocDoc.com/AskWomen.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it.
Hey guys, welcome back. So we're going to get Maya on the phone or on Skype.
Just for those who were with us during the first half of our show, here is what a psychotherapist is, which is what we all kind of thought. We're not idiots. Psychotherapy is a general term that is used to describe the process of treating psychological disorders and mental distress. While many psychotherapists do not use this classic type of talk therapy, there are actually a wide variety of techniques and practices used in psychotherapy, and there's a lot more to be described. So yes, there's a lot of different types of psychotherapy. There's the Jung, I feel like an idiot right now, can't think of any other ones. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of different types of psychotherapy, but Maya is a psychotherapist, and she has a show on the Playboy Network, Playboy Radio, called Head Games, and we are going to call her right now.
Hi there.
Hi, hey. Doesn't she? Oh, her voice, I know.
I thought it was a recording.
I know. I had somebody call me the other day as well, and it sounded like these new telemarketers that are recorded sound like such real people, yeah. And the person's voice on the other end was like, hi, is Marnie there? And I just paused, and I was like rolling my eyes, and she goes, Marnie? I was like, oh, okay. Oh, you're a person. Okay. Hi. And then it was like somebody that I was waiting for.
And then she was like, gotcha, it's a recording.
Exactly. But yeah, this is like Maya's voice is like very soothing. Yeah. I did a whole interview with her, and it's just like, it's wispy and sexy and smart. Very nice. So Maya, thank you for being on our show.
Of course. I love you guys.
Isn't she great?
Yeah.
I know. I want her to record like an audiobook for me because I would listen to it while I go to sleep.
You could just listen to this podcast or her radio show.
Right. That's true. I could listen to her radio show, but I want to benefit from it.
That's true.
Exactly. But Maya, thank you so much for being on the phone with us.
Of course. Yeah. How can I help?
Oh, so many ways. Well, actually, I want to hear about you and your background and really the main point of our show is to advise men on what attracts women. So we thought that you would be the perfect person to describe what attracts women and how men can actually act on that attraction. That's what we'd like to talk to you about today.
Oh, very sexy stuff. I'm excited.
Her voice is great, right? I know. Like, sorry, we're all like smiling right now in here. Okay, perfect. Yes, please, please start talking.
Yeah, well, you know, my background is a little colorful because I started out as a stripper in New York, and working at Scores was somewhat illuminating in the sense that I come from a real small town in Ohio. So being exposed to all of these new people, places, and things at a really young age was just, it rocketed me to the, you know, the next dimension. And I ended up becoming in a place where I wanted to have more value. And so I thought graduate school was the best way to do that. So I went back to school and got a master's in social work and became a psychotherapist. So it's a little bit colorful, my background, But I
when you say that, I'm just thinking you were with a lot of black dudes.
Oh, girl. Yeah.
Oh, girl, yeah.
Oh, girl.
Yes, that was.
I could tell story after story after story. There are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of that.
We'll have to get to them.
But it was a really positive experience in the sense that I got to, you know, fuck all these guys and have fun with all these guys. And there was no commitment involved. It was just sex. And for the first time in my life, I was seeing life the way that most men do, you know? So I kind of reprioritized the way that I viewed relationships and viewed sex. So it wasn't so personalized anymore.
Okay. Would you say that a lot of women have a similar attitude?
Yeah. You know, I don't subscribe to the whole evolutionary psychology thing where women are rigged, you know, genetically to go after meaning and relationships and men are just meant to go sow their seed. I think that women are built very similarly and want sex just as much as men do. It's just social programming steps in and tells us that we're supposed to want different things. And that's just simply not the case. You know, I'm not a chaste woman. I proclaim, you know, proudly from the rooftops that I am a slut with a capital S and love it and own it and seek to kind of reauthor that word.
I love that. Well, actually, I'm trying to find this article that somebody forwarded me the other day that was talking about like exactly what you said, that it's a belief that women don't actually want casual sex or are unable to have casual sex. But this article was saying the exact opposite. So please keep talking and I'm going to look for this article.
You know, there is a wonderful researcher at NYU. Her name is Zhanna Vrangelova. And she's got a project called the Casual Sex Project. And it really examines and asks for testimonials from all kinds of people just as to their casual sex habits and really speaks to the fact that women aren't necessarily these chaste little virginal beings. You know, we're watching porn, we're going after cock, we're claiming it for ourselves. We're not allowing other people to dictate to us what our sex drive should be anymore. I mean, this is 2015. We've got a right to reauthor things the way we want to do them.
Absolutely. Okay. So let me read this article. New research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology shows that when great pleasure is expected, women are just as likely as men to say yes to casual sex. The innovative set of studies carried out at the University of Michigan basically showed that when women are around men who they perceive as experienced and men who will be great in bed, that's when they're more inclined to have casual experiences. So if they're around somebody that they think will provide them education in the background and like a rocking experience, they will be more open to having casual sex. That's what the study showed.
So true. And you know, if you ask women what their lives are like in terms of what they fantasize about, what their fantasy lives are like, it really speaks to the fact that we will have anonymous sex with a superstar, you know, with George Clooney, if the opportunity presented itself to us, you know, we'd be no holds barred, just go after it. In the same way that a man would be no holds barred, just go after it to sleep with a supermodel. It's the same sex drive. It's just patented differently because of the society in which we live.
So how do the guys listening to this show capitalize on, you know, that information that you've shared, that women do want casual
that
sex?
That women are sluts.
Right. And that... Well, with a capital S. But like, and this study, like how do they show that they are an experience in the bedroom?
I think that sharing porn is a really great way to kind of jump off into the deep end.
I don't know if approaching a girl on the street, showing them porn would actually get that response, but it could. We can all try it, right?
But I mean, if you're in a relationship, like
let's speak to guys who aren't in a relationship, like guys who are just walking down the street and they see a girl that they want to approach. Like, how do they show that without being sexual?
Perverse.
Like, how do you escalate a conversation and show sexual intent without being a creep?
I think that it all has to do with how you embody your personal space.
Okay.
And how you speak to the fact that you're a man and your nonverbals. So a man carries himself in a certain way. A man articulates his thoughts in a certain way. And it's almost like, you know, when you look at those old movies of like Clint Eastwood or John Wayne and the way they move through space, it's like they're moving through liquid, through water. Everything's slowed down a little bit. The conversation that they engage in is very pointed. It's very directed. It's not just about, you know, what the weather is like outside. It's, you know, it's focused. So when you're creating a sort of escalation between the two of you and you're trying to create a bond, and this is a brand new girl, something that I always advise guys to do is to just share her personal space, like not get in on her, like, you know, like totally being creepy,
right?
But creating that physical proximity through something as simple as, like, say you're taking pictures and you walk up and all of a sudden you take a picture of the two of you together. That's creating a story. That's sharing personal space. That's escalating the feeling and intention of the two of you being together. So later on, like, that's a great tactic for like first dates, mm-hmm. when you are with a brand new girl and you take various pictures throughout the date and then you follow up with her later on when you're trying to think of something to text her, you follow up with like a picture of the two of you together. That creates a story in her mind of the two of you having this ongoing relationship and more significance.
I like that, but I just picture like a text being like, just masturbated to this. She's like, oh, that's sweet. No.
That could work, by the way.
I know. Oh, God. That's funny. No, I like that example. There's other things that you can do that are similar to that that may not involve you taking, like, you know, selfies with each other. But but definitely getting not in her space, as you said, and being creepy, but getting close to her to show that you do have intent. And I like that you were describing Clint Eastwood and who else did you say?
John Wayne,
because it's true. Like the way that they carry themselves, like people who are listening to this should go watch a couple of movies of them. It's so sexy. And the thing is that you can be your everyday self. You can be enthusiastic and bubbly and you could have a great time with a girl on a date. But at some point in the date, if you can shift gears to get into that seducer mode where you do start to go a little bit slower, get a little bit closer, your voice goes down, you're more direct with the things that you're saying. Exactly, you know, how Maya explained, to show that balance, that there's two different guys there and that, you know, the great guy is great and awesome and you could have fun with him, but there's also this sexual side of somebody that desires you and wants you. And actually, before we recorded this show, we recorded a 10-minute segment for another piece and John was with us and we were talking about...
Jonathan.
We were talking about, you know, do women like to be chased? And we were all saying that women like to be pursued by a man of value, a man who knows himself, who knows what he wants. And actually what we were just describing collectively together, I think that's the type of man that we want to be pursued by, one that can be that balance.
Well, you know what? If a man throws out a few sexual innuendos, that's usually a good start, but it's the way he does it. So if you sent that picture you talked about, and hey, I just masturbated to you, but if you rephrased and said, I just fantasized about you, that's going to land much greater than, you know, being absolutely blunt about it.
Yeah.
But the little by little sexual innuendos, I know back when I was single after my divorce, if I was had a online date or a conversation with a woman I met online, if she had phone sex the first day, you know, first conversation, you knew that was a guaranteed lay. Yeah. And you'd be surprised how easy it was if you just subtly seed sexual innuendos in the conversation.
Oh, let's talk more about this, about seeding.
I would just, like I'd go to Starbucks and buy one of the bananas, and I'd be like, banana, hey?
My cucumber's bigger.
That's the extent of Christian sexual innuendos.
Banana.
What can you do with this? Like, can you give some examples of some sexual innuendos that gently escalate? Because I think for a lot of guys, the question that I get a lot is how do you take it to that sexual level? So how,
you know, my first one used to be, how old were you when you first kissed a girl? And that, somehow if they responded, that told me a lot about them.
Oh my God.
But how did you segue into that? Like you're talking.
It might be just in a joking manner because you want to play it off. Look at if it didn't land well, you also want to be able to retract quickly. So I'd say that as a joke, but I did it with such a straight face. And I swear, depending on how they responded, that told me a lot about
right.
the woman.
Right, because you catch them so off guard, so it's an
exactly.
honest moment. But let's hear. Like, so
how old were you when you first kissed a girl? See, you're thinking.
I am thinking.
Well, Marnie has kissed a girl.
No, I'm trying. My first time kissing a girl. I don't know, was just seeing the first girl that I kissed.
But then you start a conversation
about. You kissed more than one girl, I think. So.
See, because that's a perfect example. So
yeah,
little
exactly.
by
one
little. That's,
Maya, thank you.
Yeah. But that's how you would start definitely. The conversation.
But that's like.
Well, that's just one
like,
method.
Hi, my name's Jonathan. What was the first? Like, how?
No, but you didn't. Again, you don't vomit it on the first, you know. As you know, the first few minutes, you start to seed it in little by little.
I don't think there's a need.
But there's rapport that's been built, too.
Right.
Yeah.
These are the things that I want to hear because that's the guidance that the guys need.
But I think all women assume that men are sexual anyway. So I feel like to throw it in right at the top doesn't
seem necessary. He's not saying to throw it in.
No, I used to have like 3-hour conversations.
Yeah.
And then you throw it.
Right, exactly. I'm just saying like if you meet someone, I feel like showing the intent right away isn't necessary.
No, that's not going to work.
Because it's obvious.
Yeah.
The dude's got a dick.
You don't want to throw her off. I mean, here's the thing with showing intent too early. There are a lot of women who walk around and lead normal lives who could be considered like beta females. And they're wonderful women and they do wonderful things with their lives. It's just they are on kind of a beta level. So you're not going to be able to be as straight a shooter with a beta female as you can be with an alpha.
Right.
If you encounter an alpha female and you just say straight up, I just want to fuck you, she's going to have that conversation with you and understand where you're coming from and isn't going to hold it against you on like an emotional freakish level. You know, so it's different. If you're interacting with an alpha, you can be a total straight shooter and just go with it.
How do you know you're interacting with an alpha female compared to a beta female? That's an interesting thing that I want to get a better understanding on.
I think, you know, with alpha females, they're going to shout it from the rooftops, just kind of like what we were talking about before, that they're going to be a slut with a capital S in the sense that they go after sex, they explore sex, they are sexual beings.
And they'll put it out there in conversation.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's like, alpha females don't necessarily look like Playboy centerfolds, you know? They know who they are as human beings, and they know what they want out of life, and they're going to go after it. And when you encounter an alpha female, you're just going to know it on a gut level. Like, Marnie, I can say categorically, you are an alpha.
I know. You said that to me on our call the other day, too.
Yeah. I mean, you just are. And I think that kind of vibe puts men at ease because then they understand that this isn't a game player here. This is somebody who's going to shoot straight with me.
Okay. Do you think that beta females play games or?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like they just go for what they want and that's it.
Beta? But wait, because I want to have an understanding of a beta females because they don't.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not beta. I was thinking alpha. Sorry.
Okay. But like beta females, like do you think
beta.
That they are actually playing a game or that what it is that they're unsure?
I'm beta.
I think that they're unsure. I don't think it's malevolent. I don't think that there's like mean intent involved. I just think that they're not sure what they want and they're still trusting their sexual evolution to a man. They're trusting the man to hold their pleasure for them and to unfold it for them. Whereas an alpha female knows what brings her pleasure, goes after it wholeheartedly, and explores it with gusto.
I think I'm an AB then because
that's not a baby.
You're an alpha with a skirt.
Yeah.
The reason I mean is there's, you know, but it also shows your feminine side.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think what we're talking about also can be misconstrued as too masculine. Because if a woman is too masculine, that's a turn off to a man as well. So I think you're a, you know, alpha with the skirt.
Alpha with the skirt. I like that. No, but sometimes I know what I want in some areas of my life. I don't know what I want in every area. And there's certain things that I would love to be led on. By a man or even by another woman, to be honest. I can easily be led by confident people who seem to know what they're talking about, as long as they don't trigger my bullshit meter. But typically, I like being led by certain types of people. But I want to go back to the John Wayne thing, just to reiterate that for a lot of guys. I really want people who are listening to this to go rent or go on Netflix. You don't even have to rent anymore. I'm like picturing guys going to Blockbuster. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. But go on Netflix and go watch one of those movies and really just try to emulate John Wayne or even Clint Eastwood, their character and the way that they talk and the way they hold their body.
for 15 minutes every single day, going back to what we were talking about in the first half of the show with practicing things. So do that for 28 days. And I guarantee that that behavior will start to become embedded in you so that you can pull on it when needed. So that when you are in a situation like Jonathan was, you know, when he's on dates or on the phone with girls that he's meeting online, he can pull that John Wayne Clint Eastwood out and ask questions like, you know, when was the last time you kissed a girl? And that is how you sexually escalate and get to that level to test the waters to see if things can go in that direction. Maya, we have a segment that's called Overanalyze This, where we have questions from our listeners. And I'm going to start asking questions and hopefully you can help us provide the answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I've been listening to the podcast recently and I love it. It makes work go by fast and the conversations always make me laugh, especially the shows with the comedians. But really, the advice insights have helped me think in a realistic and down-to-earth way when it comes to girls and just life. So thank you for that. I'm a 23-year-old Korean recent college grad that lives in Chicago. I grew up in...
You don't have to say a college grad. It's implied.
Right. Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home and was educated on the belief that sex should be saved for marriage. And any time before, that's a big no-no. And I've carried that belief with me for a long time. But unfortunately, the fear of making that mistake has prevented me from getting close to women, which is really tying in to what we were talking about at the beginning half of the show about being vulnerable. In addition to the fear of rejection, I've also been made fun of for being a virgin throughout college in my fraternity. As a result, I'm a shy virgin and I've been dealing with addiction to porn ever since puberty hit, pretty much, which I've read affects my brain chemistry. It absolutely does. We talked about that on one of our recent shows.
Yeah.
And my expectations of sex and women. Long story short, because I can't have the real thing, I've resolved to the virtual thing. I'm sick of the virtual world and being a boy with no confidence, and I want to have a real relationship and to be a man, which you guys have started to teach me. Thank you. But it seems like nowadays, every single relationship starts on the basis of sex, which I want to save for marriage. I've tried to stop watching porn, but after a week or so, that urge comes back. And all I can think about is having sex with every girl I see. I know I have a lot to deal with, but my two
main questions... I'm glad it's a podcast and you can't see us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Here, these are two questions. Number one, is sex necessary to start a relationship? If not, then how do you suggest I go about getting one without it? So let's answer this. This is from Danny. That's his first question. Is sex necessary to start a relationship? If not, how do you suggest I go about starting one without it?
It depends on who you're in.
I like that Chris is jumping right in on this question. She's like, no sex? I can tell you all about that.
I didn't have sex the first time until I was 25.
Yeah.
That's like a big thing. And it wasn't necessarily because I was like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not some like religious zealot or freak.
Right.
I just was really shy, really uncomfortable with it, and also was brought up Catholic, and it was scary to me, and I just assumed the first time I did it, I'd get pregnant, and then my life would be over.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fear when it came to that. So for me, I didn't start relationships based on sex. I just happened to meet, like, nice enough dudes who were okay with that. So I think you just have to weed through. I don't think you should change who you are. I think he needs help in terms of, like, the porn addiction and stuff. I didn't have a porn addiction. I was totally asexual, by the way.
Like a Snoopy addiction.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
And, Seinfeld addiction.
Yeah.
So I think he should remain the way he is. I don't think he should change who he is to get in a relationship and to fit in with society's expectations. I just think he has to find the right people. And I think there's places you can go to find those right people.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, isn't Catholicism, like, huge? Like,
I mean, you can meet a girl. I don't know really, like, Catholic clubs and stuff.
But I'm sure there are many.
There
Catholic
are, I'm
clubs.
Sure. So I would look into finding people who
abstinence
might have
clubs.
More of a religious...
There's plenty of places for people who are 23.
Yeah. There's online dating sites for people who are virgins.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called Christian Mingle.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. To take it online and to get an environment where he feels confident.
And safe.
Yeah. Where that won't be pushed.
Yeah. And then move it offline as quickly as possible.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I think that there is this kind of belief that women want a nice guy. They want a guy who's in touch with his feelings and his feminine side. They want somebody who's going to hold the door for them and be a gentleman. You know, those women still exist.
They do. There's more of them than they think are out there. It's just what's in the public eye is more of the non, or is more of the sex stuff. So that's more on television. It's more on you know, the girls who get attention are like girls with sexy posts on Instagram, you know, but those are just the people we're exposed to. There's so many people we're not exposed to that aren't in the public type of realm,
right,
that don't live, have those same.
Well, I just did like a quick search on, for some reason, my thing goes to yahoo.com, but I did a quick search on like abstinence clubs, and there's like chastity clubs, virginity clubs, all for people who, you know, are around Danny's age. So there's plenty of places. I would say go on Google or Bing or yahoo.com, whatever, and just search chastity club or virgin, something like that, with your age, with the city that you live in, and just see what pulls up. Because I'm guessing,
because it could also be like
your area.
AA for porn addiction too.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, that's what you should look into as well, because that's a pretty serious problem that can totally mess around with your brain chemistry. There was a great article written by Mark Mason, which we talked about on our show when we talked about how it messes with your brain chemistry. And he had some lessons on how to actually stop your porn addiction and how to break away from it. He went on like a porn fast, and that really, really helped him. He noticed that his hormone levels shifted to a better state. His levels of depression decreased. His overall thrive for life increased once he stopped watching porn as much as he was watching it. There's nothing wrong with watching porn, but it's when it gets to that unhealthy level. So Danny, that is definitely what I would suggest that you do, and sign up for some of those clubs and start mingling with people who have the same beliefs as you, because I love that you have that belief. So hold true to it. And it's not necessary to start a relationship with sex as long as that's what you believe. Even if it's with somebody who doesn't have that same belief system, you can totally still be in a relationship without having sex. And most women, or a lot of women, will be understanding of that. If they're not, they'll get out of the relationship. The next part of the question was, what do you think about the idea about sex before marriage? Is it healthy, unhealthy for relationships, marriage? We just covered that as well, Danny. We think it's totally healthy if that's what you want and what you believe in. Okay, next question. First off, I would like to thank you for the work you do in the dating field. Without you, guys like me would probably have no real or sincere help. As I would love to be able to hire you, I cannot afford it. So the next thing is this. I'm asking a free question on the air. I first became a follower, of yours when I listened to your book on audible.com, Get Inside Her. This is somebody from audible.com trying to do a plug for themselves. This book became very eye-opening for me, and I have listened to it many times. Ooh, that's awesome. I should have had Maya do the voice for that book.
Yeah.
sometimes to feel good and put me in a good mood, your podcasts are a lot, a lot of fun, and there's lots of good advice and helpful stuff in there. I hope that your next book will be on audible.com as well. Totally an ad. So a little bit about myself. I'm pretty funny, well-versed in politics, science, tech, fashion, cars, and normal happenings in the world. Really anything that normal people would talk about, and also things that super nerdy people would talk about. I do consider myself a nerd, mind you. I do not consider that a negative connotation. So I do go to things like Comic-Con and things of that nature that I enjoy in an effort in part to meet women. Okay, so down to the nitty-gritty. I consider myself an average-looking guy, nothing special. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting myself down. I just think I'm an average-looking guy. My biggest problem is approach anxiety. Once I get a conversation going, I'm not too bad, but I keep it rolling, entertaining, and fun. So I have a few questions for you. What are good ways to approach a woman and not seem creepy, but also not wait for some perfect situation that may never arise to give me the opportunity to talk to her? Again, thank you for your time, Michael. Michael D. Short. Michael D. Long.
Yeah. Okay. The irony.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wait, so he just asked how to approach and not make it creepy.
Yeah.
But he's saying he already approaches and he says he can't go through with it. I don't
know. He was saying that once he's in conversation, he's great. That's like the thing for
most people. But it's just hard for him to get
the
warm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's the warm.
Yeah. I think the whole thing can be captured very neatly and tidily, and just knowing how to smile and doing something as simple as like a smiling exercise in front of the mirror. So you perfect your smile, but you're not looking creepy. So it's just like a gentle little glimmer
smirk,
of a smile.
Like a George Clooney smirk.
And you're making eye contact. Mm-hmm. So you're not doing that sort of beta, like I'm going lower than your level. You're making eye contact with her. You're giving her a subtle smile. That can be the greatest warm up in the world for a decent conversation.
Yeah. I was really creepy the other day.
Why?
I was the creepy one. I have a boyfriend, so I'm not looking. However, I saw an insanely attractive man to me, like, whoa. And he was on
Jerry Seinfeld clone.
A little sexier than that. times of, yeah, wasn't Jewish. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
So he was riding a motorcycle, which I'm usually not into, but he was like, he looked like very 1950s with it. And so anyway, I was at the gas station and I was getting gas and I went into the station and I came out and he was entering at the same time. And I looked at him and I almost was like caught off guard. So I stared for a second and then, he was pumping gas, but my gas pump was straight across from his, so I couldn't see him. Right. And I was like, I really want to get a glimpse, see if he was really as attractive as I thought he was, but I couldn't see him. So then once I got in my car, I slowly drove past him.
So don't do this.
No, don't do this. And I like looked and he kind of looked again, but I didn't smile or anything. I was just like looking, literally looking at him, pulling away in my like little crappy car. And I'm sure he was like, that was kind of weird. So don't ever do anything like that. Don't snoop around, just be confident. And I mean, if I was single, I, you know, think of Marnie and the advice that we give on the show. If I was single, I would have forced myself to talk to him because it's not all the time I come across someone that I'm incredibly attracted to.
Right.
So if I were in the situation, I would have just gone balls to the wall and walked up to him and said, you're really fucking hot. Literally. Yeah. If I didn't have a boyfriend, I swear to God, that's how hot I thought he was. I would have just said that. And if he wanted to like, say thanks and be like really cool about it and talk, cool. But if you wanted to be like weird and like, ugh, then
you know,
I would have
left. For me. Now you're not hot.
But that's
anymore.
What I imagined happening if I was single, that I would have literally walked up and just
been, she's like driving
you're
away.
You're literally just picturing super it. Hot. And I just had to tell you that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I love
swear
that.
To God, because that's how attracted to him I was. Would have done it. I would have.
So how can Michael use this? Because that
doesn't start a conversation.
Not always work with women. So this is the thing that I've noticed. And actually, I watched a YouTube video of Matt Hussey the other day. His videos are pretty cute. I've only met him in person. I've never seen them before, but I thought they were cute videos. And he was talking about texting to women. And a lot of his advice actually, I thought could really be great for men as well. Because he was talking about like, don't send texts like, hey, how are you? Because it's basically
so boring.
It's saying like, you entertain me.
Yeah.
I'm starting the conversation. I have
exactly.
nothing to say, but you entertain me now. I'm putting this on you. Be
so
a man and entertain me. And I find that a lot of guys do that as well in their approaches and in their texting conversations as well. It's like, I'm just putting it out there and saying, here I am. Now it's up to you to take control. Where the thing is, a lot of women are like, oh, why the fuck would I want to talk to you? I don't even know who you are, what you're about. You're not saying anything to me. And you're not even saying anything without words to me.
You're giving me nothing to work with.
Yeah. So I love what Maya was saying before about approaching with confidence, having that smirk on your face. And I love what Kristen was saying about going balls to the wall and just going for it. But something to use. I'm actually going to give like a different example. I usually give OSA as my example. Which is my method for having
a motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. Like, great motorcycle, like super sexy, and you're fucking hot. Let's have sex. That could work for a woman. But so I talk a lot about, I call them mission statements, but I should actually call them something different. But there are things that are going on in your life right now. So if you can have three things in your back pocket on automatic recall for you, of things you can bring up to talk about, that's what you can use in conversations that you're not always stumbling. And I call them mission statements because they're things that can be built upon, right? Where you can also engage the other person. So for example, if you have a mission of, I'm going to go and find like the best freaking t-shirt I've ever seen, and that's your mission in your mind, and you talk to somebody who you're at a clothing store and go like, here's my mission. I'm trying to find the best freaking t-shirt in the entire world, one that's not too tight, one that's not too loose, that fits me perfectly. And I went to, and you tell three different situations of you attempting to find that t-shirt, that's a mission story that could be built upon, and you can include that person in your conversation. That is something that you can use in your approaches right after you use OSA. You've heard me explain OSA a million times on the show. Observation, share, and ask. That is the best way to break into conversation. But to follow up with it, you can have mission statements. The mission is, you know what? That's a great bike. I've actually been like, I'm scared of bikes, but my mission is to get on a bike by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, can I get on yours and take it? That's what you can use. That's what I would say for approaching. And I have lots of other materials on how to approach in my manual for approaching and creating attractive conversation, which is part of my program, How to Become a Man Women Want, and also The Insider, which is a kick-ass program that I think everybody should sign up for. You can get that on my website, winggirlmethod.com. Thank you, Maya, for answering the questions. Thank you, Jonathan, for being on the show and answering the questions. And thank you to everybody who keeps writing in questions. We try to get to them as quickly as possible. Write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com if you want to submit questions. And Kristen wants you to tell people to start following her. Yes, follow her on Twitter. Write to her on Twitter. Make her feel special so that she's not depressed all the time.
Mm-hmm. At Kristen Carney.
Yes, at Kristen Carney. And Maya, how do people hear your show, Head Games? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, go to the Playboy Radio website, which is playboyradio.com. Yeah. You can also go to mayajordan.com and catch me on there. And, you know, I think it's just really great to evaluate your concern approaching women, just as, you know, this is fear, and fear is just a normal part of life. Yeah. And it's okay. And everybody's going to be just fine. Remember, I'm a shrink. I'm going to boil your concerns down to their right size.
Exactly. Perfect. And Jonathan, how about you? Tell people, I know you coach women, but a lot of the information you shared on the show was fantastic and wonderful and can definitely apply to be applied to men as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, go to my Facebook page, Jonathan Asley at Facebook. And I post posts that are go on for days sometimes, you know, that are both, men and women contribute. But my website is understandmennow.com.
I love that. And actually, that's a good place to meet women. I would go onto other dating coaches' Facebook pages who coach women and start contributing on there.
But I've actually contributed, I know, to at least a half a dozen relationships that started on my thread. So
really?
I think Facebook's a great place to connect with people and meet your potential mates.
Yeah. So. I think so, too. This is a splendid idea I've just had. But, yes, so start, stalking Jonathan's page and picking up hot, single women. And then definitely check out Head Games from Maya Jordan on the Playboy Network. And continue to listen and download our podcast every single week. The Ask Women podcast gets released every Thursday. I announce it every Friday on my website. Follow Kristen on Twitter, again, so she can feel like she has friends that don't want to socialize with her, but will come to her.
That's all I want them for.
And talk about deep shit, like what she was talking about before on the show. But you guys are awesome for supporting us and listening to the show. We're so excited to now be partnered with the Playboy Network, and hopefully we can partner with a ton more people so that even more people listen to our podcast and we can spread our word a lot more. I don't even know where I'm trying to go with this. But anyway, we'll see you guys next week.